maybe Bethany could sing and Monty, you could preach. So we're trying to do that. She's a wonderful young lady. I think you'd enjoy meeting her. Thank you for coming out tonight. Hey, if you have your Bibles, let's open them to Joshua chapter 20. My time here in 10 years, we're moving into 14 books being complete. We're nearing the end of Joshua tonight. And wanted to bring a message from verses 1 through 6, which is the cities of refuge. And ask the Lord to use that for us. Follow along with me as I read Joshua 20, beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from which he fled. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your kindness in letting us meet together tonight, and for Christ and what he accomplished on the cross on our behalf. Praise the Lord for that. Ask your favor now upon your word. This is the time when our ears need to be opened, our eyes need to see, our hearts need to believe. Your word, written under the inspiration of the Spirit, wherever we find it, whether it's Joshua 20 or Matthew 20, Lord, your Spirit can use your word in a dynamic way in our lives. Pray now for all of us in this room. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this is about the cities of refuge. There would be about six of those cities. The other sons that were going to inherit land, they would get land. The Levites would get cities rather than geographical lands. And their cities would be scattered all across the land of Israel. Each one of those cities would be made straight. They would make extra sure those roads were good. If there were bridges, they would make extra sure those bridges were good. If there were obstacles, they would make extra sure those obstacles were out of the way, so that if someone needed to run literally for their life, that they could get to one of these cities. Israel isn't a large land. It's about the size of New Jersey. So these six cities, there would be one near virtually everyone there. You hear the name cities of refuge. You might think of our own, something in the headline right now is sanctuary cities. You hear a lot about sanctuary cities in leading the news. Sanctuary cities are not to be confused with cities of refuge. Sanctuary cities can be a county, it can be a whole state. There are sanctuary states, sanctuary counties, sanctuary states, sanctuary towns. And he said, what are sanctuary towns or cities or states in the United States? They are counties, cities, states that don't want to cooperate with the federal government, with ICE. If there are illegal immigrants who have come into the land, they want to harbor them, they want to protect them, they want to help them financially, they want to give them housing, they want to give them education, they want to give them medical help, and they are not here according to the laws of our land, but they're here and they've broken the laws of our land to gain access. And Southern Baptists are in a real struggle over sanctuary cities. You may not have heard this, but there is a rift in the Southern Baptist Convention over this subject. I personally land on, they are those who say, protect, 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 they're here, let's give them the gospel. I'm all about giving someone the gospel, wouldn't deny anyone the gospel, but if you're here illegally, and this is a nation of laws, then you say, well, someone needs to commit a violent crime to extract them from. If you're here illegally, you've broken the law. And in my opinion, you need to be escorted to the border and sent back to where you came from. ICE is trying to protect the research, protect the medical, protect the education, protect citizens. There are a lot of folks who are in our nation right now illegally who are committing violent crime, and we need to expedite them out. The other day, I think it was Pope Francis scolded our Vice President J.D. Vance and said, you need to be kinder to the illegals that are in your nation rather than getting them out of the country. And I think J.D. Vance said, I think the last time I was there, you had a wall around Vatican City, and you don't just let anyone come in and out. Do you want us to flood Vatican City with these illegals? And his answer to Pope Francis was, you take care of the Vatican, I take care of America. And I think that that's a good answer. Now, you should not confuse sanctuary cities in America that are out to protect the bad guys with cities of refuge in Joshua chapter 20 that are set to protect the good guys. They are there to protect those who somehow, you know, accidents happen. People can die if there's an accident. Accidents of all sorts can happen. And unfortunately, someone can die as a result of that accident. And cities of refuge would be set in place to protect those who found themselves in the middle of such a thing as that. Make sure, you know, the skinny on it is, and the simplest way to describe it is sanctuary city, or excuse me, cities of refuge were established so that you could gather evidence, take witnesses, get to the truth, and have a judicial system that honors the Lord and reflects His righteousness and honors the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think for a moment about these three things very quickly in these six verses. Number one, the grave. There are going to be people that decease, the grave. I want us to think about that for just a second. Secondly, I want us to think about the good, and I'll try to go through this very quickly with you tonight, the good. And lastly, beyond the grave and beyond the good, I want us to think about the grace. Because everywhere you go, and I am very Christocentric, Sunday school teachers, I want you to learn to do this. If you are teaching others with an open Bible in your hand, I think the cities of refuge provide us an image of, guess who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Cities of refuge were to protect men, innocent men, from the wrath of other men, whereas the ultimate city of refuge has a name. His name is Jesus. And He's not so much designed to protect us from the wrath of other men. He is designed to protect us from the wrath of the Father. We say we're saved. What are you saved from? We're saved from the wrath of God upon our lives. Jesus Christ is the ultimate city of refuge. First, the grave, 1 through 3. You'll see the Lord spoke to Joshua. He says, I want you to say this to the children of Israel. I want you to appoint cities of refuge so that those who kill others find themselves involved in someone who has died. And they've done it not premeditatively. They've done it without intent. They've done it accidentally. They've done it without, this is not premeditated murder where they designed and they thought and they've enacted their plan. They've found themselves in the middle of something that they never imagined would happen, could happen, and all of a sudden it has happened. Someone has died because of something that they are very, very close to. You say, what kind of things would this be talking about? It might be something a child gets into around the house. There are a lot of accidental poisonings in Missouri and in all 50 states of the United States. There are things that children might ingest or that an adult might ingest. It's just accidental, and you find that you lose your life because of that. Sometimes doctors can prescribe something to someone that they think is going to heal them, cure them from a rash, only to find out. Marilyn had an aunt that was of this way in her 90s, only to find out that that person was highly allergic to that cure that was given to her, and actually the cure took her life. We didn't hold the doctor guilty of manslaughter, guilty of first degree, guilty of second degree, guilty of no degree. It was just something that happens in the medical world that's out of a doctor's hands. There can be traffic accidents. You know, I was in my first traffic accident last year. I didn't see this guy coming up the hill. He was out of my sight. I was going 45 miles an hour. I think the sun was in his eyes. He didn't see the stop sign. He ran the stop sign and totaled his vehicle, totaled my vehicle, but that was not done with intent. It was a traffic accident, and he wasn't gunning up the hill and saying, I see that that Chevy Avalanche coming down the road, and I know who's driving that, and that's the preacher of Friendly Baptist Church, and I'm going to make sure I take him off the road. That was the last thought on his mind. We ran into each other, and I must have knocked him like 50 feet. I said, where did that guy go? I was so confused when I got out of my truck. I said, he's way down there. Like, how did he get way down there? Traffic accidents happen. Motorcycle accidents happen, which I think a lot of the times their motorcycles are just, they're a dangerous vehicle to drive at first. I hear two or three times on the road today, they're trying to take a two-lane road and turn it into a three-lane road. They'll come between cars and they'll do all kinds of things. But a motorcycle accident, a traffic accident, a poisoning, a drowning, sometimes a gun discharges accidentally. Someone falls. It's a slip and fall, and they fall and injure their head, and they don't survive the fall. In the Bible, you'll hear about axe heads. Someone will be out chopping wood, and the axe head will come off accidentally. And it's not that you're chopping wood, and I plan to kill my neighbor, but accidents like that can happen, and people die. I heard of someone who built a house, and the roof touched the ground. A cow went up on the roof. The cow went through the roof and killed a guy inside the house. Accidents happen. And what do you do when such things occur? The Lord says, I'm planning. I want to put in place cities of refuge. And there was a law in among Jews, there was a law observed by Israel that said an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, limb for limb, life for life. And some people would get so lopsided with this and say, whether you're guilty or not of taking the life of my loved one, they died, therefore your life needs to be taken. And mob rule would take over a situation pretty quickly. Their thinking was, accident or no accident, the killer has to die. And usually it would, he says, a mob, usually it's going to be angry relatives who come after the person and say, I'm going to take your life because my loved one has accidentally been killed. Now, I would say death is death. Death is horrible. Death is a huge loss. Death, you can't bring someone, cities of refuge is not going to bring the deceased one back. And that loss is a huge loss for sure. And a very sad event, and funerals will be held. I heard of a bale of hay coming off of a truck, and you know, someone's life was lost, or a cow gets out in the road and someone's life is taken because of that. But the grave, rather than mob rule determining guilt or innocence of those involved, cities of refuge were established to determine guilt or innocence of those involved and to take in account that there are many accidental deaths. You say, is that right? Jesus looked at the heart, didn't he? He looked at the heart of what someone was doing. And he said, you can be guilty of adultery and never have been physically involved with someone. Crimes of the heart, crimes of the eyes. Christ looked at the heart, and cities of refuge say, I want you to look at hearts. I want you to see if there was intent there. I want to see if this person's life ended because this other person wanted their life to end. And cities of refuge provided someone a place to literally go for safety. One's heart, cities of refuge say, a heart makes a difference. And the cities of refuge wanted to get to what is in a person's heart. That's the grave. The good in verse 3, the second half, after it says you did this unawares, you did this unwittingly, you did this without intent, you did this with no ill will. These cities shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Run to these cities of refuge. There's six of them within the nation of Israel. It's only the size of New Jersey, so you ought to be able to get there fairly quick. Run as fast as you can. Keep the roads clear. Keep the bridges strong. Keep the debris out of the way so that no one has anything to hinder their progress when they're going to a city of refuge. And when they arrive, we're told in 4 and 5, you tell your case to the elders, and they are given the chore of weighing out evidence. Evidence is a huge, I don't think we understand how huge just gathering evidence is. When our soldiers went into Iraq in Operation Iraqi Freedom, and there were crimes committed, and we would gather evidence and put it, you know, with tweezers into a plastic bag, and you would pick up hair and you would do fingerprints. They had no idea what we were doing. Like, you're gathering evidence to figure out who did what? Saddam Hussein was judge, lawyer, and executioner all in one. He was judge, jury, and executioner. And they just were, it was completely foreign to them to say, let's gather evidence, and they didn't know how to do that at all. And so we had to actually teach them how to gather evidence. This one runs to the gate, and he says, this is my story, and let's get to the bottom of this. I'm pleading innocence. The mob that's behind me are pleading guilt. And the elders of the city would have to sort that thing out. You say, is there any collateral value to this spiritually? Of course there's collateral value to this spiritually. Is there any national value to this for the United States? Our judicial system is built around gathering evidence and a jury of your peers and a judge who is impartial, if you will. We have this thing called Lady Justice. It's a symbol of our judicial system in our nation. She is a statue of a woman who stands there with scales in her hand, and her eyes are blindfolded. She cannot see who it is that's in front of her, so that there is an impartiality to our legal system. There are things protected. It can be your financial status. Rich or poor, matters not. You'll be treated fairly in a court. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your faith. You can be a Christian, non-Christian. You can be Jew. You can be Protestant. You can be whatever. Faith, no faith. We're not going to discriminate against you because of your faith or lack of it. Disability, your nationality, your gender, men and women are all treated the same. I think they need to add now, because of our lawfare that we've been going through now for 4 years, the last 4 years, I think they ought to say, we're going to treat you fair regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You're going to be treated fairly. But these cities of refuge were established to so that you would get fair treatment under the guise of the law, so that truth would prevail. Mob rule doesn't prevail. Emotion doesn't call the shots. No one person is judge, jury, and executioner. Everyone will be treated the same. We've got to get to the bottom of this. If you're from India, there's a caste system. People are treated differently because of their caste. It doesn't matter your caste, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your financial status, doesn't matter. Let's just treat everyone the same. And that is the model for Joshua chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. The last thing, and I've got about a minute here, so I'm going to wrap this up quickly, is not just the grave, the sadness of a loss of another human life. Human life, we are created in the image of God. All human life is sacred. All human life is precious. From the moment of conception to the moment of your natural death. Some deaths, though, are caused by accident. And we have a different standard for those that are accidental rather than those with intent. The good, cities of refuge, and the good that they did. Lastly, the grace. Verse number 6, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and this is significant, until the death of the high priest, he shall be that serves in those days. You're to stay in that city until that high priest's death. At the time of that high priest's death, if you were considered innocent prior to his death, you're considered innocent after his death, and with his death, you're released to go home. Home to family, home to job, home to your dinner table. Return to your work, return to your house, return to your kinfolks, he says, with the death of the high priest. Throughout the Old Testament, you're going to see shadows of Christ. This is Christ. Look at this incense and the aroma. This is Christ. This is Christ in this laver where you wash your hands. This is Christ in the scapegoat that's sent out into the wilderness, carrying your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to see that scapegoat again. This is an image of Christ in the one that the goat that where the high priest would lay his hands and his innocent life would be taken. Images of Christ all through. Images of Christ in the cities of refuge. I think it's important to see that. The city of refuge was a safe haven where protection was found from the wrath of men. There's an angry mob. Usually it's relatives. They're rattling their sabers. They're beating on the doors. They want your life. Come out, come out. We know you're in there. And we're going to hang you high, guilty or not guilty. You took one of my kinfolk's life. It's a Hatfields and McCoy. We're going to take your life. We're going to fight, fight, fight. Cities of refuge were set in place to protect the innocent from the wrath of men. There is a city of refuge for sinners. And that city of refuge, his name is Jesus the Christ. And he takes his sin upon us. The city of refuge protected the innocent from the wrath of men. This Christ protects the guilty from the wrath of God. He takes our sin and he imputes his righteousness to us so that we will not suffer under the wrath of God. You can ask someone, you're saved. That's weird language. What are you saved from? You're saved from the penalty of the wrath of God. And the one who ran to the city of refuge would remain there until the death of the high priest. I think that's an interesting statement. The death of the high priest. There was one who would die in that city that would set you free to go back home. One who would die. Who was it? The high priest. Now, who is our great high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we delivered? Because of his death on our behalf. There would be a high priest who would die. And at that moment, that one that was innocent, but everybody outside thought he was guilty, when that high priest's life ended, then that one was set free to return to their home once and for all. Free to return home to family and friends. So that the innocent ran to the city of refuge. Sinners run to Christ, and you will find deliverance and freedom there from the wrath of God. Keep your eyes on Christ, our city of refuge. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we looked at the grave. We looked at the good of the city of refuge and evidence and gathering evidence and what that means in a legal system that is not biased. We've looked at the grace found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, Lord, if there's any here who have never trusted in the grace and the goodness of Christ, our high priest, I get exhausted by people who say, we don't need the Old Testament. It makes no sense. It has run its course. It's irrelevant. It's only for a museum. You will not understand Christ our high priest without the Old Testament. And thank you, Father, that a special shadow of Christ passed across our hearts tonight with the study of Joshua chapter 20. If there's one here without Christ, may they come to a saving knowledge of Christ tonight. If there are any here tonight who need prayer, Lord, I ask that they would come for a season of prayer. I know we prayed in a group earlier. There may be an individual that needs to come for prayer with Pastor tonight. If there are any that need a church home, tonight, a great night to join our church family. Bless now as we sing our closing song. In Jesus' name, amen. 204 in your hymnals. 204.